Okay. Now, we're going to read today, Isn't She Beautiful? Oh, I'm not talking about the dog. The reindeer. Oh, it's a dog. That's a reindeer. A deer, a doe, a female. No. Thank goodness. Okay, now it is. All right, we've been studying on the statue of a perfect man. And we're at brotherly kindness. And we stopped last week. And I told you that we would try to read Sister Shepherd's dream, but we'll do that next Sunday. All right, this Sunday I want to kind of, we've been in the scriptures. We know what the Bible says about brotherly kindness. Now listen, we can't get around it. You can't jump from brotherly kindness up to love. So we've got to go through this. Something we got to go through. And if you say you're not, then you know, I'll see you in a rapture. Because you're not going to make a body change. Remember we were talking about Abram Wednesday night and Abraham? Abram had a promise. Abram produced something. The church ages produced something. This message produces the new birth, but it doesn't produce a new birth. It's the same new birth that was on the day of Pentecost, that came through Luther, that came through Wesley, that came through Pentecost. Amen? It's just we have a furtherment on the word. God has promised us that we were going to have a child. But we were going to have that child. We've done come down here to the end. We've got old. I hope you saw what I was talking about Wednesday night. We're at the old part of the, we're at the end. We're the oldest. We're not the youngest. We're the oldest of the ages. We're the last one. The Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. We ought to know how it operates after 2,000 years. But it got eaten down through the ages, but still there was a promise. Still there was a son born. Amen? Jesus Christ was birthed into those people. But in the end time, we're to birth a man. Abram had strength. Sarah didn't. But Abram was wavering in his faith. He had faith, but remember, when you come up to Abraham, then you hone it down to where Abraham said, okay, now I know I'm going to have it by Sarah, and God, I know one thing's for sure. You're going to have to do something because I can't produce, and Sarah can't either. We're to the age now to where all human ability is gone. All right? So that's where God's got to get me and you to. Where all, you know, I thought, well, we got to get good enough, and we got to get this, and we got... No, it's God. God's going to have to do the changing. We can't change ourselves. All right, so God's going to have to do the changing, but we're going to have to come under the plan of God to do that. We can't do it on our own, so we've got to come under the plan of God, and the plan of God is to have virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, not to miss a one of them. Right. Sure. Nope. Yep. And how to put it together. Satan had tore it apart. He attacks the word. He attacks the word. When he attacks the word, what he done was is he broke fellowship. He pulled everything away from each other. Now, they still had the Holy Ghost, born again under their own age, right? Everybody was. But there was no, that was under Abram. Abram had a promise. Abram could produce a son. God can produce down through the ages, but remember, that's not what God's looking at. God's looking at somebody to finish this thing. Okay? It's not saying that he's not looking at Martin Luther. No, he was as pleased to dwell in Martin Luther as he is me and you. Or he's a changing God. So he doesn't change. Alright, so he was just as pleased with Martin Luther's "The Just Shall Live by Faith" as he is with your "just shall live by faith," because that's what you got to start at. But Martin Luther didn't have enough light of the word to take him on up higher, so he lived a good Christian life, died, went by the grave, now he's waiting. All right? And I hope you got that Wednesday night. And Ishmael was produced. And Ishmael's a wild child, but look, Ishmael got promises. Ishmael was a promised son to that Abram. Apart from, but remember, God wasn't looking at that, because remember, Abram comes back and says, "Oh, that Ishmael may live before you." And God said, hey, I'm going to give him promise. He's going to get promises. He's going to be a wild child. Pentecost was a wild child, right? Pentecost was a wild child. So he got a wild child out of that, but that wasn't the culmination of I'm going to make you Abraham, a father of many nations. You're going to bring a promised child out of your loins, but you're not going to do it with a denominational idea, which is the bondwoman. I didn't get into that Wednesday night. Maybe I'll do part two, but the bondwoman was Hagar. She was the bondwoman, and the Bible says that the bondwoman will not be heir with the free woman. But now remember, she got a promise. Remember, she was kicked out, and she was, you know, she looked like she was going to starve to death and all that. And the angel of the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, God came to her and said, hey, don't worry, your son's going to be there. That's what down through the ages, God said, hey, Luther, your people's going to be there. You live by the just shall live by faith. Even though you smoked a pipe and drank beer in a pub, your group's going to make it. Your group's not going to die. Sure, they physically died, but spiritually they didn't die, right? But we come to a place to where God, in the back part of his mind, as the prophet said, brought us up to a place to where we're going to have to bring all them out of the ground with the word that we have, so there's no way we can do it with a wild child. We have to do it with a promised son, Isaac. We have to do it with the one that can produce. Well, Ishmael's seed is so mingled you can't. As far as natural seed, no. It's all mixed. Remember, this is all in type. This is all in type. No, I didn't. I never said that Ishmael's kids will make it. It's in a type. Ishmael is a type of the church ages. Everybody understand that? Say amen. I mean, really, Ishmael's a type of the church ages, because you go to a certain point, they got a promise, but they didn't get the promise of the body change. No, natural Ishmael, no. There's going to be some that make it, because I'm sure there's some of Ishmael's descendants in the United States right now, sitting in the message of the hour, who knows? Because remember, Ishmael and Isaac physically never fought, right? But doctrinally, they fought. Everybody understand that? Isaac had a promise. He had Rebekah, and remember, that was a line promise. But Ishmael had a line that was promised, but there would be a wild child. It's what I was trying to get you to see. We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We can't throw Ishmael out. The Ishmael type, the type of Ishmael, is the type of the church. Not the nominal church. I'm talking about the true church. Because remember, he was Abram's seed. Everybody got that? But he wasn't that Galatians 3:16. Not as two seeds as of many, but as the one seed, which is Christ. So God wasn't even looking really at Abraham and Isaac down that line, because remember, Christ didn't come from any of that. Christ didn't come from a natural lineage. So you have to look at the spiritual lineage, and that's what we were talking about Wednesday night. Look at the spiritual lineage of Isaac, which is, I've got a promise, I'm going to make it in the rapture. But that's not the full promise God gave. Man put his own ideas in it, right? But when you come to where God met Abraham, there's your promise, right there. Now, that's why I read you that quote at the first, where Brother Branham said, every son of the faith and daughter will make this final journey. Meet this journey at the final end. Not the Ishmael, and not the Abram, and not the Sarai, not the contentious woman. This right here. This is what God promised. You have got to meet Melchizedek for yourself. And you remember the quote that I read you, that now Melchizedek is in us, not one person. So you meet Melchizedek every day, if you meet born-again believers. Amen? You meet Melchizedek, which is God in human flesh. Now what are you if you're born again? You're God in human flesh. Okay? So that's what you're meeting. That's what Daddy's talking. We're not, I think we're saying, we'll meet him over there. No, here's where we meet him. Not in a physical form. Okay? But we meet him in flesh. in a physical form called a bride. That's why Melchizedek could not be the Savior, but yet what was inside of Melchizedek was the Savior. Right? The theophany that was in Melchizedek, that man that met Abraham and looked at him eyeball to eyeball, was the same one that got on the cross and died for your sins. But it was just a different flesh, because remember, that flesh was created and took out of existence. There's no way that we were that way. He had to be our brother, so Melchizedek couldn't die for us. But the one that was inside of him is the one that went to the cross to die for us. Because if he's got to, if the Redeemer had to be somebody that went through the same thing you went through. Melchizedek never went through being a baby, growing up, dying on a cross. Melchizedek was just spoken into existence, spoke out of existence. But that man became Jesus Christ. That theophany did one day, ever how long it was from Abraham to Jesus, another 2,000 years, was born in flesh. Now he can say, I was born like you, but not born in sin. But in other words, I'm coming in type of you and your journey, because the Melchizedek we meet, let me put it this way, the Melchizedek we meet is not exactly the same Melchizedek Abraham met, because that Melchizedek hadn't been in flesh and died yet, but in the mind of that man, it had already happened. You got it? Because he was slain before the foundation of the world. So God in his mind knew the whole plan, but he had to come down here to fulfill that plan. He couldn't stay God up there. When I say up there, I don't mean up there. It's just right here. You understand what I'm saying? So he had to come here as a baby, grow up, be like me and you. That way we can say, hey, that man was just like us. Because see, if we'd have said, well, Melchizedek is our Savior, see, you could have all kind of people out in the world say, well, we weren't born like him. We didn't have nothing to do with that. Then, and see, most denominational people don't believe that that was a person. They don't. They don't believe that's a person that Abraham met. They believe that's a priesthood, because they call it the Melchizedek priesthood. But, I mean, the Bible says without father, without mother, without ending of days, beginning of life, it was a person. But it wasn't something that was born, because the Bible specifically said without beginning of days or ending of life. So that person had to be special. But now remember, that person became Jesus Christ that had a beginning, bodily, had a beginning. And to take away the sin curse off of us, he had to die and go by the grave and come up and then come back into you and I. Melchizedek could not get into Abraham. There's no way Melchizedek could get into Abraham's soul. But he was showing them a promise that, hey, Abraham, your sons. Because remember, I might not be physically the son of Abraham, but Brother Branham said Abraham was the father of the United States of America. I didn't read that quote, but I got it in my book. Because the Bible says he's the father of nations. So he said Abraham is the father of the United States of America. Now what's he talking about? Faith. He's not talking about literal. He's talking about faith. He's talking about having faith, the faith seed of Abraham. And it's not two seeds as of many, but the one seed which is Christ. So you look at Christ, you see a many-membered body, but it's one Christ, one Jesus Christ. Everybody got that? So that's what we come to. When we come to the final end, it's not going to be that we're just going to be have part of the promise. No, we meet Melchizedek and he changes our body. That's why Brother Branham said every son of the faith will make this same journey in the final end, in the end time. When we end this thing up, it will have to be God changing our body from inside out. See, there's no way. Now, what happened with Abraham? God changed his body on the outside. Got it? But he didn't want that. God don't want that. God wants to dwell in your soul. All right? That's where his children come from. And so that's why Abraham's not a child of God. The Bible says Abraham's a friend of God. The faith seed of Abraham. They're going to get eternal life. But they're not going to get eternal life like you and I get eternal life. Because once we were lost, and then God comes in and cleans our soul and resides. With Abraham, he looked at a promise. He looked at the sacrifice, and he looked at Calvary. Christ hadn't died yet. That's why I said, when Melchizedek walked down that road to meet Abraham, you and I were in that man. We were in the God in the man. Yes, we were in that man. When I say man, I don't mean the outside man. I mean the man. Because Abraham said, my Lord. He saw one man. It was revealed to him that that was Almighty God. Now, go ahead. Melchizedek couldn't. That's correct. Through the womb of a woman, it was corrupted. Through the womb of the woman, he cleaned that womb out when he came through. Now, physically, he didn't clean it out. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to go back to the spiritual part. Isn't that right? We got to go back to the spiritual part. He did not clean that womb out when he came through as a baby. It was a mess just like the rest of us. But God in type showed that that was what got us in trouble. And that's how we're going to get out of trouble. God didn't just, that's why I said, God doesn't. Do what now? No. No. He wasn't kinfolk. Right. Melchizedek was not kin to anyone. Now, Jesus Christ wasn't kin to anyone either. But he came the same way you and I came. Except for the virgin birth versus the sexual birth that we have. But remember, final end is the same thing. It's a baby being born through a womb. That's correct. And see, man's showing it now by artificial insemination. They can take all kind of, you know, Brother Branham, he said, I love this statement. He said, virgin birth, he said, that's easy. He said, a natural birth to me is a mystery. Millions of seed, millions of germs or eggs coming together, and how do you get here? How'd one go over the other one, and 650,000 of them die, and one live to get you here? To me, that's selection of the Almighty. It was real easy. Honestly, it was. It was easy for God to say, all right, here's the germ, and here's the egg, and here's the germ, and I'm going to put it in Mary. That was one and one. That was pretty easy. But to get me and you here, it was a battle. Wasn't for God, but it was for us. But he wasn't a kinsman. There's nowhere it says Melchizedek. He's a priesthood. He's the one that is a priest. What does a priest do? A priest ministers. Right? What was Melchizedek doing? He was ministering to Abraham. And very positive. I will visit you. So Abraham was sitting there soaking this in, going, man, this guy's going to visit me. This guy, being Almighty God, to me, in Abraham's mind, that just settled everything. And that's what should settle everything for you and I. We're not going to meet Melchizedek as that one person, but we're going to meet him through a fivefold ministry, actually, first, because there's your priesthood. There's your Melchizedek priesthood. Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. There's where you're going to get it from. Can't get it from anywhere else, because it says, for the perfecting of the saints. All right? So we come to a time to where we see then that Abraham received the promise, or was receiving the promise from Melchizedek, and then we saw what he'd done to Sodom. He said, well, there's my brothers down there. Can you save them? God said, if you can find, you know, Abraham said, if you can find 50. He said, okay. If you can find 20, okay. If you can find 10, okay, I won't destroy it if you can find 10. But there was only four. And one of them was a make-believer, you know. Lot's wife, but there was four down there that had to come out. So God did protect that many people, but he did not protect Sodom. Once they got out, Sodom was burned. But now let's go and continue on this journey, because if every son of the faith got to do this at the final end, then we've got to act like Abraham did. Now, not some of the things that he did before, and about laughing at God and all those things, because remember, he didn't have the new birth. David, the things David did is because he leaned to his natural spirit and not the spirit of God. We just read Psalms where where he actually comes down and speaks in the first person, lest I dash my foot against a stone and all those things. He was talking about Christ. But there was David that had had his best friend killed, committed adultery with his best friend's wife, and had a child by, which the child passed away. But because David didn't have the new birth under the blood of bulls and goats, that was covered. That was covered. And they had a prophet on the scene that made sure that that was covered. Remember, Nathan said, you'll not die. You should die. That's what Nathan said. He said, you should die. Thou art the man. David called the judgment and said, thou art the man. And Nathan said, well, you're the one that did it, but you're not going to die. God's going to preserve you because he saw the integrity of David's heart. Same way with Abraham. Like I said Wednesday, I don't think Abraham was some, well, look what he come from. His father was an idol maker, so he really probably didn't even believe in God. He believed in gods and goddesses and whatever they had because his daddy was making idols and he was probably in the workshop helping his daddy. When a man spoke to him, just out of the, remember it wasn't a physical man. The Lord said to Abram, get up and let's go. You know what? He got up and went. And through his journey of life, he probably never thought that we'd be talking about him 4,000 years later and Paul calling him the father of our faith. But remember, if you look in that Old Testament, you see Abram and Abraham. Even Abraham gave his wife away when he was Abraham, remember? Tried to. All right? But if you take Paul and come through Jesus Christ and through the blood of Christ, you come over here to Paul. Paul said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, we would stick him as an unbeliever in certain instances. Remember, he laughed at God, got down on the floor, laughed, physically laughed. Sarah just laughed in her heart. But remember, Abram's name had just been changed. He was just a baby, as far as we call a baby, in the statue of a perfect man. He didn't have virtue. He didn't have knowledge, temperance, patience, and all those things. He didn't have knowledge because remember, we read it Wednesday night. He fell on his face and laughed. Right after that, he said, oh, that Ishmael may walk before you. He's leaning back toward Ishmael again. He was just a babe in Christ, just like you and I. We make mistakes as a babe in Christ. But once we get to brotherly kindness, some of those mistakes need to be gone. Some of those little baby mistakes that we've been making should be out of here. Let's read a few of these before we go. I know some of you can't see all that, but I can't remember how to, I can't get this part off over here on the side. Does anybody know how to do that? Bob's not here. He'd know.
Put your arrow on the edge and slide it over.
Which one?
The edge next to it. The white edge.
That one? I've tried all kind of stuff, and it won't. Anyway, most of you can see that. I'll read it so you'll know what it says. This is a statue of a perfect man. But when you get down here, a genuine born-again dove, then you don't add nothing. It adds to you. See, comes on up, all right, coming into perfection now. Then sixthly, let's add, the Bible said here, adding brotherly love, brotherly kindness. Now, that's a good one, right? The sixth, seventh, all right. Adding brotherly kindness. All right, when we get to that, brotherly kindness, put yourself in his place on the matter. Now you say, my brother sinned against me, Peter said. Shall I forgive him? Seven times a day. Jesus told him, 70 times 7. That's 490. 7 sevens is 49. 490 years. Brotherly kindness. Now see, if a brother's all out of tune, don't be impatient with him. You see what I was talking about the other day? All these virtues come into play with brotherly kindness. Watch this. Somebody said, "Not be kind to him." Now, see, there's one. Impatience. So there's patience. Be kind to him. Go anyway. Somebody said not long ago, how can you believe these things the way you do and still go to the assemblies of God in the oneness, all the rest? Then put, see, brotherly kindness. See, hoping someday, look, patience with him. There's one virtue. Temperance, that's two. Enduring with it, knowledge, that's three, to understand what he believes. Remember, it's in his heart. That's what it is. Virtue in yourself, to let it go out with kindness, meekness to him, having faith that someday God will bring him in. So he's using all the virtues down at the bottom, going up that pyramid, and they all culminate in brotherly kindness. Because remember, that's the last virtue until we get the love of God, which is the headstone. All right? And listen, 99.9% of the Christians that have ever lived since the day of Pentecost has not come to that love. The Lord Jesus and William Branham is the only two people on the face of this earth that has ever come to that capstone that we know of the time, that we can use for an example. Let's put it that way, that we can use for an example. That come to where that capstone came down over that man, and God said, "Hear ye him." So, I don't want to be discouraging, but that's a pretty bad batting average, 0.01%. But, you know what? There is a 0.01%. It says, for the perfecting of the saints. So there is a way to get there. And William Branham got it besides being a prophet. This is what I believe. You don't have to be a prophet to receive the headstone. Amen? If not, then we all got to either be prophets or we're not going to make it. So we're not. So Brother Branham didn't make it because he was a prophet. Like Mom said, that prophetic gift of Brother Branham was sent here to straighten not the word out, the word's always been straight, but straighten the people out that had distorted the word. Okay? So that's what that prophetic gift did. Sure, we know it was signs and wonders, but Brother Branham said that was just the bait on the hook. That was just the healing ministries was just to the worm. Wiggling worm, because there's a hook there. You just want to catch those fish, you put that wiggling worm on there. Well, that wiggling worm was signs and wonders. Not discrediting signs and wonders, because that was a great thing. Since Jesus Christ, there never was a man that produced as many miracles and produced more than Jesus did. Brother Branham said in one service he had as many miracles as Jesus did. So, but that wasn't the message. That had been Ishmael. Come on. That had been the wild child, the Pentecost, from Pentecost till now. That had been the gift that God had given people. He wants us to take a body change. That's God. If we don't take a body change, then this thing keeps going on and on, and it can't, because this is the last church age, is what I'm telling you. We've come up to a wall. Luther come up to a little wall, but he didn't know, but God knew there was a Wesley standing there to take the message and start anew. Then there was a Pentecostal wall that Wesley came up against and went over and went into the Pentecostal age. Well, now we're in Laodicea. There's no other wall. We either going to hit the wall and go down or hit the wall and go up. So there's our, but our promise is that we're going to have that child. There's our promise. That's why every son of the faith in the final end will take this journey. Martin Luther did not take that journey of meeting Melchizedek and being changed and having a child. Does everybody understand? That's what I'm talking about. Wesley did not do that. Pentecost did not do that. They produced a child, but it wasn't the promised child. From 1963, after the seals open, there's your promised child. There's Melchizedek meeting you face to face. Because it was the Word, not just a person, it was the Word. Listen, Brother Bram said this right here will be sticky to the very end of the change. What you're going to have to do is depend on what God's given you inside you. When we go, actually, I see what you're saying now, I'm sorry. But yes, remember, we fell in Eden. Real quick, we're going to have to get out of here. This was Eden. Okay? This was Eden. This was in Eden, you and I. Remember? All right? We fell. Eden came with us. Nature. Nature fell. Man fell. Nature fell with it. Got it? Now, when we go back, Man's got to go back to the Eden condition first, then the world comes with it, right? So we've got to take a body change to bring Eden back up. But it's not this. This is the same thing, because remember, redemption is not replacement. The Eden condition was that you and I were going to be born in a flesh body that was eternal, and we were going to live for an eternity. No sinners, no nothing. But when we fell, the earth fell with us. We're all in a fallen condition. The whole world is groaning, Romans 8, waiting on the manifestation of the what? Sons of God. Back up to an Eden condition. Okay? Then the world's going to catch up with us in the millennium, partly. Remember, partly in the millennium we'll have an Eden-like condition, not fully. We'll have a city that the Jews are going to build down here, correct? Jews are going to build that city down here. We're going to live in that city. That's not the future home. Mm-mm. Devil's still alive. His demons are still alive. When we get into that future home, there ain't going to be no live demons. So we got to go back up, let God clean the earth off, kill the devil, kill the spirits. Then we're going to come back into an Eden condition just like it was had there not been a fall. That is redemption. It is not replacement. So we had to have somebody come that didn't fall. Absolutely. Yes, that's like a type. All right, let's go. We'll get here. We didn't get done with anything, but we'll start again next Sunday. Lord bless you.